really wake up to how even through the traumas and the yuck and the muck, our lives are setting us up for victory. We just have to be willing to see the victorious breadcrumbs along the path, those breadcrumbs that are about victory.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I am so excited because tonight we have a return guest, one of my favorite people. And I had the honor of seeing her live and in person in January, spending, I think, 4 or 5 days with her, actually, which was fantastic. And then we chatted in March. But you know what? During this pandemic, we've both been super busy, so really haven't had time. So I said, you got to come on the show. Not only do I want to catch up with you, my friend, but I want you to share your insights and expertise. Because not only is she an intuitive healer, she's a leadership expert, and she likes to call herself a happiness junkie. I think that's a great term for her, because she is the lead and founder of the Hartley Center. And you can find that at hartleycenter.com. And you know, tonight we're just going to free range chat. I've got so many things I just want to like run by her and hear about all her recent experiences plus her wisdom, because she's awesome. She has a wonderful class, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. I am so sorry, my dear friend Valerie.
Living with one and being happy and whole.
Oh, okay, there we go. I knew the word happy had to be in there. I remembered that. So we've heard her lovely voice. Let me introduce Valerie Shepherd. Thank you for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you so much, Sharon, for having me back. I love our conversations, and I love being able to do them with your audience in mind and seeing what we can, how we can breathe some life and happiness into them. So thank you very much. I'm honored and pleased to be here.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to give everybody a fair warning. This isn't all about happiness tonight. What I love about Valerie is she sees the duality or all sides of everything. And it's always fascinating to me because I can run down rabbit holes and she'll come up with some amazing insight. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight. I'm hearing a lot of woe is me from our community, the understanding autoimmune community. And I get it. You know, we were on hyper alert before a pandemic, and a lot of us were kind of going like, well, welcome to my world. Yes, being afraid of every little virus out there. And then all of a sudden the whole world is, and kind of like going, welcome to my world. At some point, not that I'm trying to normalize anything, but at some point, I guess I just got to put that fight, flight, or freeze to the back, figure out what I want now. And I think that's the hard part, is what do I want now?
Yes. And what came to me as you were talking about that, like, you all were already hypervigilant. You all were already worried about but certainly aware, very aware of the dynamics that could cause viral reaction within your system. So one could say you all are the best equipped to deal with this pandemic. Like, you're the best equipped, whereas a lot of people are having to do so many things that have never been on their radar before. You all may have been at an even better, at a better place for mapping out like my new behaviors relative to this invisible threat, so to speak. So there's a blessing in that. I remember when I first woke up after the stroke and the right side wasn't really working. And I remembered some of the things, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on your show before, but this is part of the story of how life happens for us, not to us. I'm going to call it 6 months before the stroke, I started completely organically asking myself to use my left hand. I started brushing my teeth with my left hand. I started reaching for things. I started stirring pots. And the only thing that was coming up in me was that it, and isn't this interesting, that it was a part of keeping my brain supple.
Wow.
Organically.
I didn't know that story.
Organically. I just started doing things. 6 months later, I'm in a ICU with the right side of my body totally shut down, which I thought was paralysis forever. Fortunately, it's not. I can move my right hand. But I had already been training my left hand. So I've used my left hand almost exclusively for the first year and a half. And it's really, the two have been working in concert better now. But I just say that story as a point of saying, if we really, I won't say if, because I won't make it conditional, when we really wake up to how, even through the traumas and the yuck and the muck, our lives are setting us up for victory. We just have to be willing to see the victorious breadcrumbs along the path, those breadcrumbs that are about victory. They may not be the total victory. Like, I haven't 100% healed my body, and I still believe that's possible. And the things that I was doing for no other reason than it just came to me as something to do 6 months before the brain hemorrhage have been serving me ever since.
Wow. I did not know that story. What an awesome story. And I'm going to have to go back through my journals and see if something like that, because nothing came to mind similar to me other than, I'm just going to say, I knew things weren't quite right back then before, you know, way months before the diagnosis, but that's totally different than having these gifts just prepare you. I think that's so fascinating. Although I found plenty of gifts in the diagnosis now. Number one is, if you'd asked me 7 years ago, would you be doing a podcast on wellness and autoimmune? I wouldn't have really known even what that meant. And now I have the opportunity to share what I'm learning with, you know, thousands of people. And just that opportunity to be able to bring something into the world.
But Sharon,
it gives me such happiness. It gives me joy.
I really have to call you out on that, because I think you're doing a lot more than just sharing what you know with people. Like, you are really equipping them with the tools and the tips and the perspectives and the education and the fortification and the self-love and all these different energies to actually help them do it. So you're doing a lot more than just sharing. And
thank you.
The planet's grateful to have you. And I think your first question around, like, what do I want now? What I see, I think that's a really powerful question. And here's my problem with it, my encouragement to the audience. Like, we don't ask ourselves that question enough. We ask it when there are big major transitions in our lives. Like, I had a stroke, or I was diagnosed with a chronic, very disruptive, disturbing, debilitating illness. So these major milestones, then we go, so now what do I want? But I encourage and invite people to ask that question several times a day. So I talk to my students about, you know, we get so much into our ruts of going in a certain direction, and we're not happy, especially on a college campus when students are like, I got to get it done in 4 years. I'm going to lose my financial aid if I don't. I'm going to do this or do that. It's all about this 4-year track. And did I pick the right courses? And it's all about this getting somewhere. And not to be as cliche as it's about the journey. That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that our getting somewheres, we could actually contract them and bring them like closer into the moment. And then when we're doing that, we're actually staying closer to the truth of where we are right now, which means we are actually infusing the very next moment when you ask that question, when we ask that question, with the highest possibility of creating the happiness that we need right now. Like, we're so busy trying to live this moment to create happiness way down there. I'll be happy when I graduate. I'll be happy when I get the job. I'll be happy when I get hired back. I'll be happy when the pandemic's over. Like happy, happy, happy is always a deferred happiness. And if we ask that question now, not just about what do I want on the menu for dinner, but like, what do I want right now? So perfect example for me was yesterday. There's a food truck. My neighborhood complex has been having food trucks come, and we do social distancing and everyone's required to wear a mask and you order in advance. So it's really safe and happens very quickly. And the food truck that was coming felt really good for a minute. It was like, yay. But then when it came time to go, I stopped and I asked myself, do I really want to eat from this food truck? And the answer I got in that moment was no. But if I had gone ahead and done it because a day earlier or early in the day, I thought I was going to do it, I might have gotten there, spent my $15 or $20, gotten something from the food truck, come home, taken a bite out of it, not really liked it, and then wondered, why did I think I wanted to do that anyway? Have you ever had those moments when you're like, I'm going to do it. And then you get there and you do it and you're like, why did I do this? Why did I want to do this?
Oh, all the time. In fact, the thing that bothers me, I have two recent stories. Oh, one is there was at the holidays, there was this party and I hadn't seen a lot of the people. Some was family. I could just go through the whole long list why I should show up. And internally, I'm like, I don't really want to go. Anyway, I forced myself to go, and this was pre-COVID, everyone. But a lot of people ended up getting sick, and me included. So I was like, somebody was trying to get my attention, and I talked myself out of that because it was a real strong, kept hounding me until I got in the car and drove there type of hounding, and I just refused to listen.
That.
And now I'm much more cautious when I hear that same voice now. I'm just like, I'm listening. I learned.
Me too. And people often say, but how do you know? So I give them two things. So I do muscle testing. So I will do my own muscle test here. And I will, I've got a phrase that I say and I will check it. But the first thing I do, even before I do muscle testing, I usually use that when I don't feel like I'm getting a clear answer. But usually what I do is take a couple deep breaths, make sure that I'm grounded, right? Ground myself, come into my heart. And the way I come into my heart is usually say some gratitudes. I'm so grateful that I'm having this time with Sharon. Grateful to be here. I'm grateful to know I'm supported. So I might do that for like a minute, just get into my high vibe, my happy self, my happy place. And then I'll ask. Valerie Renee Shepherd, so I say my full name. Is it in my highest and best? And I usually give a characterization, right? The idea is to narrow the question down so that the universe can help you and knows what you're asking about. So, for yesterday it was Valerie Renee Shepherd. Is it in my highest and best? And I give it a value to a 9.5 or better on a 10-point scale, to a 9.5 or better. From a mind, body, spirit, wellness, and enjoying my dinner perspective, for me to go to the flaming chicken food truck and get my dinner for tonight. Yes, and I usually do a yes. And if I don't feel it, like usually if I say yes and I feel a, like it's like a silent, that I can feel the center of my chest getting tingly or it feels expansive, like it just opened up. To me, expansiveness is a yes. If I feel a contraction, I feel something, something a little uncomfortable, something disquieting, something that feels sharper, jagged edges. If I see only black, like I've gotten practice at this enough where I know when myself is giving me a no, and the yes always feels expansive. Like I sometimes feel myself going, like I kind of sit back, like, and I can feel the smile in my eyes and you'll know. The point I'm making here is we just need to ask ourselves more often, and then we get practiced at asking ourselves. And to your point, then it's not about the asking anymore. It's about, you got an answer. Did you listen?
Because did you talk? Did you not like the answer?
Exactly. I read in my book about how many times I was getting an answer and chose not to listen. And then what usually happens ain't pretty. It's a way to learn from not listening to myself and where that lands me, but it ain't great.
What's interesting to me when I talk myself out of it, and it's usually shame, blame, guilt, that I'm going to do something, hurt somebody else's feelings because I didn't show up, or it's not. And so that's how I end up talking myself out of it, because I don't want to deal with somebody else's outcome for it, if that makes any sense at all. I kind of talk myself out of it because I'm like, with the party, I was like, oh, you know, I haven't seen the so-and-so is going to be there, and I should just show up and get it over with. Well, that's really not a great mindset to go to a party or to go to anything. Not a great mindset. And
that's a taking care of.
I just didn't listen.
That's a taking care of behavior too. It's like, my existence is about making them feel good, and so I'm going to sacrifice. Now, this is not necessarily conscious. It can be subconscious. My job on the planet is to sacrifice myself for the benefit of others. And so that could be operating underneath the surface. It also could be, for me, it was not about that as much as missing out. So for me, it was always, I'm going to miss out on something. If I don't go to this networking meeting, I'm going to miss out on this perfect partner for my business. And it's the one and only time I would meet this partner. And so I'm letting myself down. Or if I don't go, a lot of times that had to do with meeting my, you know, magnificent man. If I don't go to this thing, I'm not going to meet him. He's going to be there and somebody else is going to get him. So it's interesting. We all have different reasons. So yours might be, I might let someone down. Me, it was, I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out on my good. I'm going to miss out on my grace. I'm going to miss out. And for other people, it might be something else. The bottom line is, we can't miss our good. We can't miss our grace. It's all inside us anyway. And it's all about serving ourselves so that we're walking around as a full vessel, the full, healthy, powerful vessel, so that when we give to the world, we are giving from our overflow, not from our deficit. When I give from a place of deficit, I'm depleting myself even further, and that puts negative energy on that beautiful stuff I was trying to give anyway, and it doesn't serve any of us at the highest level.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to take a quick commercial break a little bit early, because there's some place I want to go right afterwards that I know we're going to get real juicy. So let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with the amazing Valerie Renee Shepherd, using her whole name there. I'm so excited to have her here. And she's the founder and lead of the Hartley Center. And we've been talking, and what I love about Valerie, and if you ever find a friend like Valerie, grab on and never let go, because Valerie is one of these people that, you know, she's coming from her authentic self at all times. And that's what I love about her. Recently, we had a conversation, and I'm going to sort of wrap myself out here, Valerie. We had a conversation about, I have a family member that's been, and I'm going to use the words because we even had a conversation about the words, so everyone listen carefully, who's been locked down in another part of the country. And it's been tough on family members to have a particular family member away and away for a while now. And then I started to do my little woe is me, and that's where this conversation that you're all joining us on is coming from. I started to do my little woe is me excuse of, well, I have to realize that they're safe there, they're all of this. And it's not as if he was deployed in some life harrowing situation or something like that. So that's my ramp up to Valerie. Share with us what you shared with me, because that was a powerful wake up call. And these are the kinds of friends you want, everyone. The ones that call you, the ones that call you out. And she called me out, and that's why I said, you got to be on the show and share it. Go ahead.
Thank you for this question. And I want to be in a tender hearted place of compassion and understanding, because this isn't about somebody else's trauma is worse than someone else's. I just got off of a call and we were talking about anti-Black racism, anti-Semitism, other isms, and wanting to make sure that it's not about my stuff is worse than your stuff. It's about really seeing what's in it for each person who's going through it according to what their history has been and where they're going. So to get real granular here, when I talk, because of my physiology, when I'm doing live speaking engagements or keynote addresses or just teaching my courses or workshops, right? When I'm doing that, there are certain things that you tend to notice about me. And so I mention it just to take it off the table so that people can stop looking at my arm shaking or whatever and just hear what I'm saying. And so I often, it's not every time, but often enough that I bring it up now, that people will come to me and say, I was sitting there thinking so woe is me. And then I heard that you had a brain hemorrhage and it's been 5 years and you had to learn to walk again and all this stuff. And I stop them in their tracks. And I'm like, that doesn't have anything to do with you. What you're feeling, the fear that you're feeling, the upset that you're feeling, the debilitation, the loss, the trauma, the grief, whatever you're feeling is what you're feeling. And that has to be the full, you have to have the full measure of it. You can't tell yourself, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way because look at her. She's gotten so much worse. That's a way that we tell ourselves we don't matter in our own lives, that it's not okay to feel what we're feeling and to make that the most important thing for us. So my message is, if you're feeling sadness and grief about missing someone, then feel it. And if you're around people who tell you to shut it down because other people have it worse, they're maybe not the best people for you to hang around a lot when you're in this state. Because I am encouraging you to own it, to claim it, not to lord it over other people so you can have them feel bad about you too. That's a little bit of narcissism. What I'm talking about is a healthy, responsible, self-loving, self-caring space of acceptance. See, we go through life so much believing there's something wrong with us and buying into the idea that I need to fix myself. And if we would get to the space of, there's a lot more that I'd like to do. I am right now on a journey of learning a lot more than I've ever known before about the permutations of anti-Black racism, of actually learning about systemic racism, things I thought I knew that I didn't know. And I've been very careful about loving myself through the pain of actually feeling complicit to some degree in systemic and institutionalized racism because of that ignorance of mine and the way I reacted to others because of it. But I will not go into the space of somehow denigrating what I'm going through. That's just a place that I was. And so to Sharon, my message was just, no. It's okay to feel the sadness and the loss of missing this special person, special family member who's not available to be where you are right now, and not tell yourself, well, somebody who's missing someone else has it far worse. So I really encourage you all to just be willing to let everybody be, including and most especially in your life, yourself.
That's beautiful, my friend. And I encourage everybody to find friends like Valerie. You need friends that tell you the truth. You need friends that tell you their wisdom. You need friends that are authentic and vulnerable all at the same time. And that's my friend Valerie. Because when we show up, when I showed up as my own authentic, at first when I was diagnosed, I was afraid to tell my corporate clients that something was going on.
Yes.
I was really afraid, like, oh my gosh, what happens if they think I can't do the job anymore or whatever? It was all in my head. It didn't manifest that way. Thankfully, I got it out of my head and I didn't manifest it myself out there in the world by thinking that way. But that was my first thought when I got the diagnosis is, oh my gosh, who's going to want to hire me now? And I think you're so right about these stories we tell ourselves, these constant stories we tell ourselves.
Yes. And then the flip side to that coin, we have such interesting similarities that sometimes feel like opposites. Isn't that interesting? So my flip side was, I didn't have that thought, they won't think I'm capable. What I was combating in my mind was, I have to do it. I cannot be this person. Like, I was in a state of, I'm the one not accepting me. I'm the one. Nobody else was telling me. I wasn't really worried at that point. I was teaching at the University of California. I had a few clients. At that point, I wasn't even sure what people knew about what had happened to me. I just woke up 3 days later from a coma and then started rebuilding from that point. And of course, you know, being in rehab hospital, there's no way I could work. So it was kind of, I was pretty outed. In terms of, she can't walk, she can't do this stuff. Like, well, there we go.
What happened to you was much more visible than a lot of the diagnoses.
Yeah, a lot of diagnoses are, and even now, right now, Sharon, you know, a lot of what I feel, people can't see. So right this very moment, I feel tingling. The nerves have been hyperactive on the right side of my body for 5 years, 24/7, 365. So I feel that kind of tingling on the right side, like literally stops in the middle of my body. My mouth always feels like I'm drooling. I've gotten used to it now. Note that it's not there, but it always feels like I'm drooling. I sometimes lose words and I can't figure them out. But most people don't notice it. This eye always feels droopy. Most people aren't seeing it. I can feel it, that it feels like it's half closed, but most people say they don't see anything. And so it's interesting. I was the one taking myself to task. Like, I couldn't accept myself without 100% of physiological ability. And I wasn't willing to, I didn't want to have to live that way. So I was in residential rehab, really pushing myself. I mean, we have some pictures of me crying through a couple of things they were, the beautiful physical therapists were asking me to do. And they're like saying, take a break. And I'm like powering through, which is in some ways for some people that can be absolutely loving, empowered behavior. In my particular case, which is not necessarily true for everyone, in my particular case, it was a very loud, very strong form of resistance. Like, I will not let my body be this way. I'm going to resist it by beating it into submission, into going back the way it was. And what I learned was, you know, my doctors really had a sit down with me. They're like, you are pushing too hard. Your body needs time to rest. Like, even when I wasn't in the rehab room, I would try and wheel myself over there with my one arm, which is pretty hilarious because wheeling yourself with one arm means you go around in circles. So I was like trying to, you know, get myself out of my room and get over to the rehab. And they're like, what are you doing here? You don't have an appointment. And I'm like, can't you give me something to do? Like, can I do something? And they're like, the reason you're not in here is because what you need to be doing is resting. Your body, your brain has had a major injury and it needs a break. That's why we didn't schedule you today. And I was having a hard time allowing myself to be in that space. And so this kind of ties back to what I was saying earlier, like accepting and allowing that we feel bad, accepting and allowing that I feel fear, accepting and allowing that I'm alone and I don't like it, accepting and allowing that nobody's paying attention to me, accepting and allowing that I'm really, really upset and angry, accepting and allowing that nobody has it as bad as me, accepting and allowing that nobody understands what I'm going through and I hate it. Like really allowing ourselves to be there, knowing that we're not intending to stay there, but in the act of accepting and allowing, the energy dissipates. The body gets a rest. The mental body and the emotional body and the spiritual bodies can rejuvenate and the higher self can take over. And that's where the beauty really happens. When we get out of the physical human self and allow that spiritual higher self to come really claim us and own us and help us spiral up and move forward in love. Mm.
You always enthrall me. I just hang on every word. It's just so fascinating to me. Here again, I think that's a perfect place for our final break, because sometimes when Valerie and I get together, it just gets juicy quick. So I think perfect place for all of us just to let that sink in. Awesome. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with the lovely Valerie Shepherd, and she's a leadership expert and a happiness expert and a happiness junkie. And one of the things that I mentioned just a little bit ago that I want to circle back around, if it's all right with you, Valerie, is, you know, I'd mentioned I saw you in person for a lovely 5 days. We got to spend time together in January. And then in March, we had a wonderful phone chat, which, by the way, one of the things that I want to talk about, because you're so good at understanding this, I'm really missing community. Social media only does so much, to be honest. I mean, you put up a happiness quote or, you know, get a little dialogue going. But I know you've been considering and doing a lot of work around community. So what are your thoughts about virtual communities? What are your thoughts around how do we build community now?
Beautiful idea around getting our hearts together. I think I saw a quote somewhere, you know how I am about quotes, but I saw a quote somewhere about the divine is never happier than when two hearts come closer together. And so I love community and I miss it too, especially interacting with my clients and students face to face. And so I have built something juicy and delicious that I would like to share. And I'll get to that in 1 second. But I do want to say this. I want to encourage people, and this is what will happen in this community. I built a community called Heaping Helpings of Happiness.
Hold on. I want to see if I can say that. Heaping Helpings of Happiness. Oh my,
yes.
That's a little brain twister, isn't it? Heaping Helpings of Happiness.
Sharon, I love quotes. And, you know, I was a communications major in my undergrad, so I love alliteration. So there's the three H's. And so we call it H cubed for short, Heaping Helpings of Happiness, or H cubed for short. But anyway, the whole idea here is that that we can keep breathing love and life into each other. And some people feel weak when they admit that they really want to be around other people and they're missing other people and they don't like being with themselves. So I have two things to say about that. Some of us do really need to figure out that reason. What's really going on there? So I found out a long time ago that I did not have a great love affair with myself. I really took myself to task. I had a negative self-talk a lot. And I really didn't see myself as lovable. And as a result, I would hide from myself. And I would do that by making sure I was with other people and giving myself to people too easily and all kinds of things that were a way of saying, I really don't know how to be in relationship with ourselves. So that may be what's going on when people right now through this pandemic are, and the shelter in place and voluntary stay at home requests that are out are feeling like they're isolated and they're missing people. So I would check in on that. That needs to be a part of the equation. Then find some communities that do feel like they're more than just a virtual online thing. So my, this Heaping Helpings of Happiness, you can go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/Valerie Shepherd. And there are membership levels there. The lowest is $5 a month. The highest is $100 a month. And I'm pushing out content at the higher levels. There's interaction with me, including laughter parties monthly, interaction about private individual things that you want some private coaching on. I even do blessings and sit with people as they do prayer and intention and help them work through prayer issues and things like that. It's a beautiful opportunity. And here's the best part. One of the ways, the reasons that I'm doing that is because I work with young adults, and sometimes their perception and belief is that they don't have a means to pay. And I work with low income and emancipated foster youth and people who don't necessarily have a safety net or ability to pay for these kinds of services for themselves. And so a portion of the proceeds from each level, each portion of each membership that's purchased goes to making the same platform available to people who can't pay. And so it's a great way to get some community, serve yourself, help yourself to heaping helpings of happiness while you serve those people who really do need support and services right now when they can't afford to avail themselves of them on their own.
Well, how awesome is that? Well, divine intervention here. Now, I know that you've been doing, helping the low income and fostered youth and things like that for ages. This is what a wonderful addition. Congratulations.
Yes. And we can go, it goes through my nonprofit. Heartsawakening.org is the nonprofit. And so, yes, indeed, we'll just be expanding the ripple effect. That's what I'm really calling in, is some big ripplers, people who want to throw some big rocks into the water and create a ripple effect that goes far and wide. And I call it conquering the world with love, because that's what I'm ultimately, I talk about happiness a lot, but really what I'm teaching is self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-love that feeds total unconditional love and a world that works for everyone.
Oh, yes, I know you're, I want to circle back for just a second. This is so exciting. Because your book, your award-winning book, is all about self-mastery. And that sounds like this is just building on top of all of the wonderful tips and techniques and offer in your book. Happy to be me. That's the book, right?
Yeah. Being happy to be me. Yes.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. What a wonderful thing and a great community that people can reach out to, not just during the time of pandemic. I'm excited to see this build, that it goes beyond. I think one of the interesting things to me about the pandemic, here I'm going down another rabbit hole, is, you know, for a long time, several of us had adopted a little bit of the virtual. Of course, I do my interviews via Zoom and I get the audio and the video, et cetera, everything. But it was still all about being in person. And now we're learning a whole new way of staying connected, of being connected, and really through the virtual world is too. And I find that exciting to me, that all of a sudden there are whole new avenues of opening up. It's no longer just my close insular types of friends that I can go have tea with, that I can have tea with Valerie over the internet. You know, I mean, I'm finding all of these wonderful new ways of being. And I think that's exciting during this time.
Very exciting. I can't tell you how many Zoom happy hours I've had, movie watching things where I'm in my living room watching the same movie that my mom's watching. My family, there was a live concert or something. I was here in California watching it. My mom was in Nevada, Henderson, Nevada. My brother and sister-in-law are in Virginia. My other brother and sister-in-law are in San Diego County. And we're all watching it on television together. I was sharing my screen and sending it out via Zoom, a watch party via Zoom. But here we are in four different places, commenting on the same, you know, seeing something at the same time and creating the kind of community that worked for this. What's interesting is it took the pandemic for us to do that. Like, we've always been in these four places. What we hadn't done was gotten together and enjoyed something together without getting on a plane to do it or without driving long distances to do it. So that's one of the blessings of opening our minds and going, okay, this isn't exactly what I asked for. It's not anything that I want. And what's the opportunity inside this? And to your point, Sharon, I think a lot of us are learning there have been opportunities inside our lives for a different way of being that we haven't stepped into in the past, and now we're being given an opportunity to. And I would like to say one other thing about this whole community. One of my pet peeves is when I call somebody and they text me back or they email me back. And I've gotten really big lately, even before the pandemic, I have made a commitment that I was going to be more in your face. I don't mean in your face like beating you up. I mean in your face like, here I am. I'm right here. Let's talk. Because even before the pandemic, what I thought I was hearing a lot from my clients and my students was that they felt isolated before there ever was a shelter in place order. They were feeling isolated. And I couldn't figure that out. I was like, what's going on? Then I realized how many of them only connected through social media. They only connected with people who were on their Twitter feed or their Instagram page or were in their TikTok or Snapchat. And there are too many, maybe that's a judgment that doesn't need to be there, but there are a lot of people whose only interactions are through artificial means. And so I would encourage you, if you are feeling like somehow you're isolated and cut off, get out of Zoom and pick up the phone. Like, we've lost sight of the picking up the phone, write a card or a letter, like send something that a person can open and receive and maybe call you and you can maybe listen to them or even watch them on Zoom while they're opening your package. Like, how can you add another layer of connectivity that's heart to heart, even though you might have to be virtual or social distance? I'm really calling out to people to get really heart engaged at a higher and deeper level during this time. And I think what's going to happen is it's going to serve you during this time, but what's more important, it's going to serve you as we come out of this time and unfold into what's supposed to be the next best optimal thing.
It's interesting that you brought that up. I have a friend who's quite ill and not a good prognosis in the long run. I could have easily emailed her, but some little voice said, no, go find the most beautiful card you can find, sent it to her. And she called me just in tears. I was like, oh, how sweet, how wonderful. And that wasn't my intention. I mean, I'm glad that there was a wonderful connection, but it's interesting how, but that little voice said, no, make a connection, you know, find something that's special for her.
Well, you know, what I think happens is we get so busy in our go, go, go lives that phone calls feel like they take too much time. And it's a lot easier for me to let you know I'm thinking about you by saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, send, and then move on. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that when we feast ourselves from that plate only, when there's a big buffet of so many different ways in which I can be in community and communion with one other person or two other people, I say, like, eat from all the plates. You know, I'm a foodie, Sharon, so... I'm saying, you know, take a little bit off of every plate and especially the desserts. And so how can I make it more personal and maybe take a little bit of time? I notice when I take personal calls, when I'm still sitting at my desk, I'm sort of not paying all attention because I'm feeling the pull of my work wanting me back. And so I'm now doing a much better job of taking my phone and going out on the front porch. Or pushing back from my desk and closing my computer and just talking on the phone. And I keep a list of, like, who are my friends that I haven't had enough interaction with lately? Like, I called you.
Yes, you did.
And go through the list and just say, hey, I'm just calling because...
And of course, my phone lights up with your name, Valerie. And I'm like, oh, it's Valerie. Hello. Even that, I know that might sound a little, you know, it's like, oh, it's Valerie. Because I have to admit, though, if I don't recognize the phone number, I think twice to answer it these days. So make sure you guys keep your contacts up to date. So when your friends do reach out to you, you know who it is.
Yeah, that's very good advice because I'm the same way. I don't answer if I don't know the phone number.
Yeah, that's a different story for this. But I want to circle back, and I'm putting Valerie on the spot. None of this was planned. This is just a chat between friends. But in the last 7 minutes we have, I wanted you to talk about the way you use language. I think everybody's been able to hear you self-correct in some words that you choose, and then say, no, that's not the word I want, as well as re-listen to this interview, not only because it's valuable information, but the way Valerie uses language is very precise. And I think that's important to understand that each word that, and she sings to my heart this way because I'm a word nerd too, that each words that we choose to use really do have different meanings. They're not interchangeable. So Valerie, speak a little bit about word choice.
This is the first time I've ever heard word nerd, and I love it. I love it. Okay, so yes, words have different meanings, and the ones that you hear me correct are oftentimes I'm not speaking from my heart or into my heart. So what I'm talking about is how we use language when that language doesn't make us feel good. The question is, why are we using it? So you just heard me say work. I try not to call my purposeful gift to the universe, my contribution to the universe, work. Every now and then I do, so you heard me just say it, but I often don't like the way that word makes me feel. So I take it out of my vernacular. I talk about dancing in my purpose. I talk about my contribution to the world. I'd rather talk in those terms because those terms lift me up. Whereas work, we talked a little bit earlier about my feeling in my chest, a yes or a no. And work gives me this contraction. And so I try not to use words where my mind and heart are not in sync. I've heard so much during this pandemic, and you heard me say voluntary stay-at-home order. And I've heard so many people call it about being in prison and being locked down. And I've really pushed back on that, pushed back pretty hard, which is we in the United States are not even a thimbleful of a true lockdown. Like, we don't even know what that means in most places in the United States. There are some places where it's been a little bit more difficult, but I've got friends in several countries who are under martial law. Like, that means you can go to jail if you're caught outside. You can be shot, potentially. So when we think about lockdown, I don't call it that. I've been calling it exactly what it is, because, you know, I still go walk at my lake. I had a mask on this morning, but I'm still outside. No, but I didn't have to ask permission, and I could go every day, 10 times a day if I wanted to. And so the point is, breathe life into your life by the things you do, the thoughts you think, and the words you say. Breathe life into your life by the things you do, the thoughts you think, and the words you say. Your body hears every single thing you say. So, and according to metaphysics, quantum physics, the spoken word is one of the most powerful forms of thought. It's a thing. By the time it comes out of your mouth into the ethers, it is a concrete piece of energy going around the universe, attracting its like. So we need to be very careful. I stopped saying, when I really got this at a bones level, I stopped saying that I have bad knees. My knees were living into my declaration about their ability. They were getting worse and worse. I've had 3 knee operations. When I would do sports, they would ache and hurt. And I was like, oh, they're doing exactly what I say about them. I used to say brain fart whenever I thought I might not be able to get something, or when people were talking about getting old and I was like, yeah, I have a brain fart. Well, some people call the kind of hemorrhage that I had a brain attack. And one of the medical words for like a heart attack is an infarction, which sounds like brain infarct, sounds a lot like brain fart. And when I got that one, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like speaking into existence that which I don't necessarily want. So this whole idea, I call it mind your words, mind them, M-I-N-D, and mind them, M-I-N-E. So I'm minding them so that I make sure I'm going to use the ones that are life-giving, love-giving, and I'm going to mind my vocabulary and get rid of the ones that are not, that are like little landmines that I'm giving life to, and they're blowing up in different portions of my physiological body, my emotional experience, or my full-on life.
Wow. Valerie, my friend, you always blow me away. Everyone, we're just about out of time. When I get with Valerie, time disappears. My dear, tell us about where we can find more information, heartleycenter.com, as well as give us the address for your new community coming up again. Yes, I'm so excited. I got to make that right make noise of heaping, helping of happiness.
Yes, and the URL is patreon.com, patreon.com / Valerie Shepherd.
Okay, everyone, we're going to have that over at understandingautoimmune.com too, on her page, this episode page. So you can just click on it there if you didn't get that all written down. But you can always hit rewind too on these wonderful podcasts. Everyone, yeah. That's the amazing Valerie Shepherd. Share with us the name of your book as well. We've got about a minute left, but I want everybody to know the best ways to get a hold of you besides the patreon.com Valerie Shepherd.
Thank you. The book is Living Happy to Be Me, Dancing Your Soul Light Style. And it's available in Amazon and Barnes & Noble out there. And it's in Kindle and hard copy. And if I'm speaking into someone who doesn't have the financial wherewithal to buy the book right now, you can go to my book website at happytobeme.net and you can download. It says From My Heart to Yours. Click on that link and you can get a downloadable PDF version. It's about 300 and some odd pages, so it might take a little to download it, but you can get it for free.
Oh, thank you, my friend. As I said, everyone, that's my dear friend, Valerie Shepherd. Check out all of her latest things. As you can see, she just brings so much light and happiness and insight into the world. I love the way she views the world. She always makes me think deeper. And I think that's incredibly important when you have friends that make you think deeper. Those are the best kinds of friends. Love you, my dear. Mwah. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Be sure and join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.